Thank you, Winston, for doing that, for chairing today. I still remember when my first message that I gave 12 years ago, I was just shaking in my boots. I was so nervous I couldn't sleep the night before. I wasn't getting enough sleep, and when I came up here to preach, I still remember it was kind of a warm summer's day. I was wearing some loose pants, and someone was telling me after service that I was just literally shaking in my pants because they see my legs fluttering. I said, no, it was not. It's those air vents that are blowing at my legs, causing my pants to flicker. But thank you, Winston. We appreciate you doing that today. And in the next few weeks to come, you will see others, young people, middle-aged people, and maybe even some older people, chairing our service and allowing God to use them to lead us in worship. Vision describes where we're going. What is the vision of our church? Can we say it together? To be? Okay, let's say that together. If you need to cheat, you can look at the bulletin, front page, bottom. What is the vision of our church? Okay, I'm going to say it one more time with you. The vision of our church is to be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. That is the vision of our church. The mission of our church is then how we get there. How we become a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. And last week I mentioned to you there are five words that guide us along this way. What are the five words? Befriend. You guys are pathetic. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint or guide you along. The first one you got, very good, befriend. Next one is? Okay, I hear some believes and belongs. Okay, it's actually believe. The next one after that is belong, further, become, and lastly, beset. Someone actually said, which I actually have a sixth one in there. Someone actually suggested we have a sixth. Do you think that that would be? So someone suggested befriend, believe, belong, behave. You guys know how to behave, right? Last week, we looked at the first aspect of our mission. We're to befriend others and love people unconditionally. Today, we'll focus on the second and third aspect of our mission. To believe in Jesus Christ and grow in our belief. And thirdly, to belong to the church family and connect with other believers. Believe in Jesus Christ and grow in our belief. St. Augustine, a Christian theologian and philosopher in the 4th century, said this. He said, I believe in order to understand. I believe in order to understand. Centuries later, St. Anselm of Canterbury echoed the similar statement by saying this. He said, I do not seek to understand in order that I may believe, but I believe in order to understand. Believe in Jesus Christ and grow in our belief. Our reason, you see, must be preceded by our faith in God. Reason must be preceded by our faith in God. The writer of Hebrews put it this way in chapter 11, verse 3. He said, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Unless we jump into the water, how can we learn to swim? Unless we get on a bike, how can we learn to ride? It's a similar way with our faith. Unless we trust God and ask Him to come into our lives, we will never know what it means to have faith in God. You see, on this side of heaven, I am convinced that we will never fully understand God. But he gives us enough faith to believe in him. We need to act upon that faith. And he will grow our faith in him. You know, when I first became a Christian, I didn't know or understand everything about God. I mean, how could I? I was not brought up in a Christian home. I did not go to kids' camp or teens' camp. I did not attend Awana or VBS or Sunday school. I didn't hang out at fellowship in small groups. I didn't have any Christian friends in school, not until my second year of university. Before I believed, I had only gone to church for about 6 months at that time. I had heard the gospel, what Jesus Christ did for me, for only a few times. How could I know and understand everything about God? I wasn't even seeking after God. But I did taste of his love for me. I did witness the reality of his presence in the lives of my friends. You see, in a sense, we do not go to find Jesus. Jesus comes to find us. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." You see, Paul says it like this. He says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. The message of faith that we proclaim is near you. Elsewhere, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the power of God, it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. You see, the word of faith for salvation draws near to you. Not because of anything you've done. Not because of anything I have done. But because God draws near to us through his word. He draws near to us through his word. And what is his word? What we read earlier in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. So first, with your mouth, you profess and are saved. You profess and are saved. When I profess faith in God and I asked Jesus to come into my life at the age of 19, I was in my dorm room. Something happened that moment that changed the course of my life, that altered the path of my eternal destiny forever. The word of God drew near to me. It was on my lips. It was in my heart. The word of faith that was preached to me. Now, when I think back to that moment, when I think back to what happened, there was no famous preacher preaching to me. It was not a Billy Graham or Ravi Zacharias or John Stott. It was just a faithful pastor in some obscure church, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and his salvation for me, for us. There is no great revelation. There is no aha moment. There is no sudden understanding of all the mysteries of the universe. For me, there is just the humble recognition of God's love. There is just a simple realization that I can see him. I can actually see him in the life of my friends, my Christian friends. And so on that night, with my mouth, I professed faith in God. And I asked him to come into my life. And for some of you, This is happening right now. Faith is being awakened in you. It is being strengthened in you. Because the word of God, the message of God, has drawn near to you. God's peace and his very presence has drawn near to you. And so our natural response when that takes place is that we confess him with our lips and we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. With your mouth, you profess and are saved. Second, with your heart, you believe and are justified. We believe him in our hearts. Within the core of who we are. With the center of our whole being. And we are justified. That is, we are made right with God. When we believe in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God, that he loved us so much that he came to die for our sins, and that God raised him up from the dead, we're able to hear the assurance from God the Father, anyone who believes in me will never be put to shame. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, for some of you, I sense that the Lord wants to speak to you today in a very personal way. You've been coming to church all your life. Ever since you were a child, Fraselands Church has been the place that you go with your parents, your siblings. But you have not yet received Christ into your life as your personal Savior and Lord. It's always been the faith of your parents. It's always been the faith of your family, your aunts and your uncles. But today, the Lord wants you to know of the great love that he has for you. That he has a plan and a purpose for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future, the prophet Jeremiah says. Now, others of you may not have been here all your life, but you've been here a few years. You've been here a few months. And you have heard many, many sermons, and maybe even fallen asleep at some of them, if truth be told. Did you know that I can see quite a bit from here? From my vantage point up here, I can see quite a few things. I can actually tell if you're listening or if you're not. I can actually tell if you're praying, if you're doing this. I can actually tell if you're dozing, if you do this. Well, at least have the courtesy to say amen afterwards when you do that, okay? Nonetheless, whether you've been listening, whether you've been praying, whether you've been dozing, whether you've been taking notes or texting messages to your friends while the sermon's going on, the Word of God has been near you. The Word of God has been near you. It is on your lips. It is in your heart. So take this time to respond to him. Take this time to respond to him. With your mouth, profess your faith in the Lord, and you will be saved. With your heart, with your whole being, believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And you'll be justified. You'll be made right with God. You'll be in a right relationship with God when you leave here today. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be cleansed from the past. and you'll be made completely whole again. God's love, God's joy, God's peace will be with you. And the Spirit of the living God will be living within you as you leave here today. So I actually want to give you an opportunity to do this right now. I want to invite our worship team to come up at this time. I just want to say, yes, there's a second point to this message, and I have not forgotten that this time, but I just want to break up the service a bit. So this is intentional, okay, people? The Holy Scripture says, anyone who believes in me will never be put to shame. For everyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. Please rise with us as we sing these two songs of response together. Lord God, we come to your presence at this time as your people. We thank you, God, that even as we come now and as we worship you, the word of God is near us. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. Lord God, we come today, some of us as those who have received your grace and mercy years ago. But that's just it. It was years ago. And our Christian lives have not grown in that time. We may even have stepped back a bit in our faith, backslidden. Allow the things of this world, the ways of this world, the forces of this world, to take away our first love of you. And our desire here this morning, even though we have made a commitment years ago, we recognize, oh God, we have sinned against you. We have sinned against heaven and earth, and we have even sinned against a brother or sister in Christ. And our desire here this morning is to ask you for your forgiveness, to be cleansed of those sins, to not allow those hurts and those pains to tie us down, to weigh us down, to chain us down, oh Lord God. And we want to be free and rid of these sins as we place them on the altar of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we nail it to the cross, as we recognize that the blood of the cross, the blood of our Lord has cleansed us and is now cleansing us of our sins. We want to receive this into our lives today. Hear our prayer. Know our hearts, see our desire, Lord Jesus, this morning. For others, O Lord God, we have not been to that place yet where we have released our lives over to you. We have been here. We've heard your word. We've listened to it. We've not yet made that commitment to receive you into our lives for the very first time. But our desire here today, oh God, for some of us, is to take that step of faith, to believe before we fully understand, to have the desire in our heart, oh God, that we have lived lives that maybe have been far away from you. We have not been right with you, God. And we want to make things right with you, God, here today before we leave. And so our desire here this morning is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives for the very first time. And if that is your desire, pray this prayer along with me as I lead you in this prayer. Lord God, thank you for everything that you've done for me. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and allowing him to take my place, to die in my place on the cross. Forgive me, O God, for the things I've done wrong against you, against another person, against someone in my family or amongst my friends. Forgive me of those times when I've gone my own way. My desire here this morning is to be a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, and to be included in the family of God. So, Lord God, forgive me of my sins. My desire here this morning is to receive you into my life. So come, Lord Jesus, into my life. Come, Holy Spirit, into my life and reside in me. Give me strength to walk this Christian life, even as I leave here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer here this morning, I'd love to talk to you afterwards, to speak to someone else. Let someone know today if you said that prayer. Please have a seat. Believe in Jesus Christ and grow in our belief. Second, belong to the church family and connect with other believers. You know, in our individualistic culture, there are many people, I call them spiritual orphans. People who move from church to church without any identity, without any commitment, without any accountability. So although our relationship with God is supposed to be personal, it's never meant to be private. It's not meant to be private. The Christian life is more than just a commitment to Christ. It is also a commitment to other Christians. You see, in God's family, we're connected to one another because we belong to the body of Christ. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 5, in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. To Paul, being a member of the church means that you're a vital organ of a living body, an interconnected part of the body of Christ. You see, we need to remember that the church is a body and not a building. It is an organism and not an organization. So how do we belong? What are some ways that we can do this to belong? I just want to list some of them here today. First, we belong through baptism and membership. Through baptism and membership. Although we can belong before we believe, we can belong before we believe. In the truest sense, we belong after we believe. And that's because once we believe, we're part of a larger picture of things. We're now a part of the body of Christ, the universal church, the family of believers worldwide and throughout all of history. We now belong to Christ. We no longer belong to the world. As well, through baptism, we become a part of the local church, the body of Christ here at Fraserlands. And we're a member of this local expression of Christ in and for the surrounding community. If you've already received Christ into your heart, you put your faith in him, you trust in him to be your Lord and Savior, then don't hesitate. Don't hesitate to follow Christ through baptism.
This is not only his example to us, this is also Christ's command to us as believers. He said in Matthew 28, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." If you have a desire to follow God, to obey God, to follow Christ through baptism, with a baptism service just in a couple months' time, and I would love to see you be baptized. I would love to see you profess your faith publicly to others. Come and see me after service today. I'll talk to you about that. We belong to the church family, the local church, the universal church, and we connect with other believers through baptism and through membership. Baptism is the means in which Jesus' followers publicly profess their faith to him. It is how we visibly signify that we are united with Christ in death, in burial, and in resurrection. We belong to Christ. We belong to the body of Christ. Belong through baptism and membership. Secondly, belong through caring and praying. You know, as you connect with others in the church, we learn to care for other people as well. And we learn to share in their experiences of life. The Bible says, if one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. Or one part of the body is honored, all the other parts share its honor. Praise Lands Church. I caught some of you sleeping just now. Praise Lands Church, I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. Because you do this very well. You do this very well. You've shown your care and your love for the brothers and sisters of this church in so many ways. I'm just going to list some of the ways. This is just a sprinkling, a smattering of ways. Through the people helping people ministry, as you provide help and practical help and care for those who are going through difficult and challenging times by cooking for these families. Because of sickness, because of health issues in their lives. Through the people loving people ministry, as you care for those who have mental illness in their lives at this stage in their life. Through others like elders and church leaders and small group leaders, you know, as you visit people in the hospitals, in their homes, as you pray for them in the name of Jesus, as you anoint them with oil for healing, for ministry, and you surround them with the very presence of Christ, the very peace of Christ, you're doing this. Through the prayer ministry of our church, my heart of thanksgiving, my heart of gratitude goes out to each of you who are part of this prayer ministry. Thank you for your behind-the-scenes work that no one else sees each and every week. Your daily upholding of brothers and sisters in our congregation, in our church, in prayer, in love, in compassion, and mercy. May the Lord bless you richly and reward you as you serve in this ministry. And of course, the most practical way of belonging to a church family and connecting with others is through small groups. Through small groups. Over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrases one another or each other are used. We're commanded to love each other, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to admonish each other, to greet each other, to serve each other, to teach each other, to accept each other, to honor each other, to bear each other's burdens, to forgive each other, to submit to each other, and to be devoted to each other. Don't miss this opportunity to connect to believers in the church through small groups. Belong through baptism and membership. Belong through caring and praying. And then lastly, for today anyways, belong through serving and building up the body. As I was looking through a few photos that we had taken recently as a church family, I couldn't help but to visualize what it means to be the body of Christ and to belong to the church family and connect with other believers. It's kind of like we're all part of a large jigsaw puzzle. We're all very different. No two pieces are the same. And yet we're crucial. We're crucial in the overall picture. We're not just connected. Can you see that? We're not just connected. We're interconnected. We're interconnected. It's more than just a joining of hands as well. You know, my son hates it. Every time I ask our congregation to join hands and to sing Kumbaya. Now, actually, we don't sing Kumbaya, but he said, you might as well sing Kumbaya, Dad. It's more than just a joining of hands. It is an interconnectedness of the heart, of the mind, of the will, and of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in each and every one of us. Paul says in Ephesians 4, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you're called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There's an interconnectedness of the heart, mind, will, and spirit. Here's another photo that was taken not too long ago. It was during our organizational meeting, October 19, 2014. And this is how it would look like if this was made into a jigsaw puzzle. Many pieces interconnected together. But what if one of these pieces was missing? What if one of these pieces decided not to get involved or be part of the overall body, the overall picture? What if your pastor decided not to shepherd anymore, not to preach anymore, not to care for you anymore? What if Pastor Larry, if you can see him, that's him actually, taken out of there. What if Pastor Larry decided not to minister to the teens anymore, to the youth, to stop texting them during the day, during the night? What if he stopped playing video games with them, which I doubt that would ever happen? What if Dominic, one of the elders of our church, decided he just didn't want to be an elder anymore? Doesn't want to put in that hard time, that prayerfulness, that discernment, that wisdom, that difficulty of being an elder of the church. What if he decided he didn't want to do that anymore? What if Jeff and CK decided they don't want to live as men of Christ anymore? They don't want to influence our young people for Christ anymore, our youth, our young adults anymore. They don't want to teach our children anymore. What if they decided to pull out? What if Rebecca and Kristen and Andrea and Mel and Clayton's mom's in that picture too, actually. What if they decided to no longer be women of faith in our church? To allow their God-giftedness to influence the lives, the children of this church, the other ladies in our church? What if they decided not to do that anymore? This would be a very different picture, wouldn't it? It'd be a very different picture. Apostle Paul says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. As a means of helping the entire church. What if Tombert and Joyce, Nick and Linda, Jean, what if Jean no longer made those baby blankets for us? Latch and Steve, Rob, Bill and Helen? What if others in our congregation decided, nope, don't want to do it anymore. Don't want to be part of the body of Christ anymore. Paul says in Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Those of you who are teachers amongst us, do not stop using your gift of teaching. I know you may be doing other things. Other ministries are piling up. Other things call for your attention. But if you have been given the gift of teaching, then teach and grow the body of Christ. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement, brothers and sisters. If it is giving, then give generously. We're embarking on potentially a building completion project of our church. We'll find out today where God's will is for us. But if you have the gift of giving, give generously. First and foremost, to honor the Lord, but also to bless the body of Christ. I'm sure some of you may have already sensed God calling you to do that in your lives. If it is to lead, do it diligently. Don't hold back. Allow the Lord to use you to lead with humility and gentleness. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the body of Christ. We belong to it by serving and by building up the body together. Together. As you leave the congregation today, as you leave our service today, this picture, as well as the other one of the 20th anniversary, are on either sides of these tables. Please take one with you as you go and be remembered. And remember that you are an important piece in God's building of this church. If you want, you can find your own picture, but I don't think it really matters. You'll hold people up. I already got mine. But use this as a alongside with your bag of rock and light and oil. You know, use this as a reminder that you are an important piece, a valuable element, a precious gift to this community by our Lord. May you use your gift and serve our Lord with much diligence. And may you bless this community and grow this church for Christ's sake. Let's stand together as we sing our last song, This I Believe. And then afterwards, I'll give the benediction and then we can close our service.